Well, today I want to do some teaching in a bit of a different way. I've spoken to Garrel during the week and I've said it would be great if we can maybe break up the teaching this morning into sections. So to do an initial section followed by a response moment, like a Selah moment, a meditation on something that we've heard. And then, so Garrel will lead us in a song of praise after the first chunk of worship, and then we'll go into the second block of teaching, and then have another Selah moment where we can reflect on what we've heard. And this morning we're going to look at a passage in Numbers chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, would you open it to Numbers chapter 6 from verse 22? If you're joining us online, by the way, and you wouldn't usually go to church, it's amazing that you're with us, and I'm so happy that you've been able to join us. I'm expecting, actually, that many people who don't normally go to church will find a place of hope and a place of peace and comfort as they join Christians across the nation gathering digitally, and you can access that on your device or on a TV in your home and feel comfortable doing that. So if you're a visitor in a digital sense this morning, then it's wonderful that you're able to join us, and hope that you'll be able to join us many more times in the coming weeks and months. So in Numbers chapter 6, these words will also be on your screen. It says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites.'" Now, there are a few things in there that if you're not used to the Bible, you might not understand. The first is, who is Aaron? Well, Aaron was the high priest. So he was the person whose responsibility back in the Old Testament to stand in the gap between God and man and between man and God as the representative. And so he would receive the sacrifices and he would offer prayers to God on people's behalf and speak on behalf of God to the people. So Aaron was the high priest and his sons, and then the Israelites were the Jewish people, the people of God. And so he says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" This is quite an interesting moment in our history. I've never been in a situation like we're in the whole of my life, and I'm guessing many of you have, you know, if you weren't around during the Second World War, have never experienced anything quite like this. And sometimes when unexpected things happen, we can, I don't know what that was, hopefully we're not going to have a fire alarm go off any second now. But during these times, sometimes we can feel fearful and afraid. There's so much uncertainty, there's so much that's unknown. This is brand new territory for every one of us. I would encourage you to pray for our government and those making life-changing and life and death decisions at the moment. But sometimes we can respond to these moments with fear and anxiety, and when there's confusion, often we want to hide and to protect ourselves from things. And one of the beautiful things about this blessing is that we realize how safe we are in God. So obviously there are things that we all have to do. I clean my hands when I arrived here this morning. I cleaned my hands, and when I leave today, I'm going to clean my hands. We're not seeing my mum today face to face, even though it's Mothering Sunday. We're self-isolating as much as possible, but staying in touch with people online. But the opening verses of this blessing are significant, because this is the first prayer, the first blessing in the scriptures that actually comes from the heart of God himself. So listen to this. It says, "The Lord bless you." Not "may the Lord bless you." We're not asking the Lord to do something. This is the Lord telling Moses how Aaron should bless the nation. So he's saying, "The Lord bless you." This is from the heart of God. These are the things that we know are on the heart of God to bless his people. And you might say today, well, this was for the Jewish nation. This was for the Israelites. But I want to say to you today, if you don't already know, that Christianity is unique in amongst all of the religions, in that we have been engrafted into the people of God in a way. So what the Bible teaches is the people of God are distinct as those who worship the God of the universe. And Christians, because we have a revelation of who God is in the person of Christ, we have been engrafted into the tree of the Jews. And so we are part of the people of God. We haven't replaced the people of God, the Israelites, but we are part of the people of God together as one people. And Jesus reveals himself in the book of Hebrews to be our great high priest. And I can imagine that as our great high priest, he is the one who is blessing his people day after day and would be saying these very same things because they are from the heart of God. And so he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And blessing, if you think about blessing, is all of the goodness of God being poured out into our lives. It's like when we speak, it creates a channel where the things that are in God's heart can enter into our everyday reality. And so as we bless, as we open our mouths and speak forth truth that is from God's heart, it brings goodness into the lives of those people who we're blessing. So he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And that word keep is really interesting, because that word keep, it talks about care, it talks about protection, it talks about provision. And so when we say that the Lord is keeping us, we might feel fearful and we might not know what the future holds, but we know that God is the God who keeps us, that he is caring for us, that he is protecting us, and he is providing for us. And so as we bless each other with these words, the Lord bless you and keep you, we know that we serve a God and love a God who keeps us. I heard a story yesterday, which I thought was really beautiful and really in keeping with some of the things that we're talking about today. And it's about a lad who was bullied. And his name was Nadine Khoury, and he was an American. And he was 13 years old, he was 5'2", and he probably weighed 8 stone, 9 stone, something like that. And his attackers were teenagers. They were larger than Nadine, they outnumbered him 7-1, and for 30 minutes they hit him, they kicked him, and they beat him. And he never stood a chance. Khoury's mum had recently moved from Philadelphia to Minnesota. She had lost a job as a hotel maid. She was looking for work. And so she escaped war-torn Liberia. And then as a new kid, when he was younger, he lived in a rough neighborhood. His mum was an unemployed migrant. All of these things seemed to count against him. And it was like a wolf pack descending on him. These bullies needed to justify an attack, so they used all of these reasons for attacking him. And then it began. They picked on him. They called his mother names. They routinely pushed and shoved and ambushed him. And then came the all-out assault on that January day. They dragged him through the snow. They stuffed him in a tree. They suspended him on a 7-foot-high wrought iron fence. And Khoury survived the attack. And he would likely have faced many more, except for the mistake that one of the bullies made, and that was to film what was going on and post it on YouTube. Somebody broke up the attack. The police saw the video. They got involved. The troublemakers landed up in jail, and the story reached the papers. Unbeknownst to this little lad, a producer of a national TV show called The View invited him and some other Philadelphians to appear on the show. As the YouTube video was shown in the background, the little boy tried to be brave, but his bottom lip was quivering, and he said, next time maybe it could have been someone smaller than me. And then the producers brought out some big men, and they were from the American football team that was in Philadelphia, and they also appeared on the show. And this little boy was a huge fan of this football team, and as they came out, he looked in awe, and he was like, wow, you're my favorite player. And he turned, he smiled. There was this all-pro receiver, DeSean Jackson. Jackson took a seat on the couch as close to the boy as possible, and he says, anytime you need us, I got two linesmen right here. Khoury's eyes widened, and then Jackson gave him his football jersey and signed it. And then in full view of every bully in America, he gave the boy his mobile phone number. And from that day forward, Khoury has only been one call away from personal bodyguards. Thugs think twice before they harass this boy now, who has an NFL football player's phone number on speed dial. And that's a pretty good offer, isn't it? But I want to say to you this morning that we have access to the God of the universe. And he is on speed dial on our phone. We can get in touch with him at any moment. God is our protector and our provider, the one who cares for us. And he will be the one who, through this crisis, will keep us. And so let's have a Selah moment. Let's think about that reality for a second and thank God that we have a God who keeps us. Begins and then it carries on. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Wow. The Lord make his face shine upon you. What does that mean? Well, when I've read around this blessing this week and lots of people say similar things, it's almost like the shining is the glory of God. So it's the revealing of God's self to his people. And so as God's face shines upon us, it's almost like his smile is upon his children. Think about that for a second. That the Lord is commanding his high priest, Aaron, to pronounce a blessing over his people, that they would know the smile of God over their lives. And that they would know the glory of God's perfection, his majesty, his beauty, his love, made real in their everyday experiences. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. There are some other instances in the Old Testament of this language being used, and so upon the next screen we'll see two psalms, and one is Psalm 31 verse 16, and this is where it says, let your face, this is the prayer of the psalmist, let your face shine on your servant, save me in your unfailing love. And then in Psalm 80 verse 3 it says something else, restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. And what we can understand as children of God is that we serve a God who wants to make himself known, who wants to make known who he really is, to, if you like, manifest his glory in our lives. And it might be today that you're watching and you're not a Christian, or you don't know if you're definitely a Christian. You might have some kind of faith in God, but you're not sure you're definitely what the Bible would describe as a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And today I want you to know that God doesn't hide from you, that he wants to make himself known to you, that there's a smile on his face when it comes to his children, and he wants you to know that he smiles upon you. And as Christians, we can be confident that we know a God who loves, not just a God who is a judge and angry, but a God who is full of love. In fact, the Bible says that God is love. When we see love in other people, it's just a pale reflection of the God who is love. And from his heart comes love in our direction as he smiles on us. There's some passages of scripture that are just incredible that I want you to see talking about Jesus, because it links into this. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, it says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And so some people throughout the centuries have said, well, how can we know God? How is it possible to know God? And the answer to that question is God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that we can know about God, we can look at Jesus and see it. He's full of love, he's full of mercy, he's full of grace. Jesus is the one who makes God known. In fact, at the beginning of John's gospel, actually the reference on your screen is wrong. It's not 1 John, it's just John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, has made him known. And so if you want to know the smile of God in your life, if you want to see his beauty and his love and his grace and receive his mercy, then it's Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus is the one who perfectly reveals God to us. And it goes on to say, not only does his face shine upon us, but he's gracious to us. Grace is a word that's so beautiful, and we've talked a lot recently in our church services about grace and the power of grace and everything that means to us. And what it, if you like, you can distill it down to the goodness of God given to us even though we don't deserve it. So grace is what we don't deserve that God does for us, in us, through us, to us. He blesses us in ways that we can't even begin to understand, and we don't deserve it, and we could never earn it. He gives it to us for free, because that's the kind of God that we serve. It was free for us, but it wasn't free for him. The cost of that blessing in our lives was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we deserve to be punished for our sins, but somebody took our place. Jesus, when he hung upon the cross, he took our place. He took the punishment that we deserved onto himself, and he died an agonizing death so that we could go free. And today he extends to you eternal life, a relationship with God, and he says, there's nothing that you can do to earn it. You don't deserve it. It's because I love you and I paid the price so that you could be blessed like that. He causes his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. There was, what's the politically correct word for a red Indian? A Cherokee, let's call them a Cherokee, wood carver. And he used to take these logs of wood, and he would sit with this stump of wood outside his house, and he would just stare at that wood for hours and hours and hours. And then he would pick up his carving tools and start carving the most beautiful things out of the wood. And one person came along to this guy one day, and he said, why do you stare at the wood for so long? And he says, I feel like I need to see what's hidden in the wood. And then I just get rid of the excess wood and reveal the beautiful thing that was always inside. And sometimes we go looking for God, or we don't even know we're looking for God, but there's a hunger, a desire, a longing within us, and we go looking for God in all of the wrong places. But I want to tell you today that you can just strip away a few things, and he's right there. He's right there. He's always been there, and you can find him today. He's gracious. He will give you what you don't deserve and could never earn. Let's have a Selah moment and just reflect on the fact that God is the one who is... He makes his face shine upon us and is gracious to us. So, the blessing continues. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then this bit. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Do you know what? Sometimes we feel like the Lord's face is turned away from us. This next slide shows sometimes in the Psalms where the people of God have felt as though God's face wasn't towards them. So in Psalm 27 verse 9 it says, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior." And in Psalm 69, verse 17, "Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble." So there have been times throughout history, and perhaps some of us have felt it recently, even some of you might be feeling it today, where we feel like the Lord's face is turned away. And I would say this, that there are cloudy days, aren't there? There are days when we go outside and it seems miserable, it's drizzly and it's dark and it's overcast, and it affects our mood. And then the sun comes out and we feel happy again because the sun's on our face, the warmth of the sun is shining on our face. But I want to ask you a question. Does the sun stop shining? No. And so if you were, I know you can't catch a plane at the moment, but if you were to catch a plane, you might take off and go through the clouds, and then suddenly you'd burst out above the clouds. And of course, above the clouds, the sun is shining all the time. And at night time, we can't see the sun. We can see the moon and the stars. We can't see the sun, but the sun is still shining. And it's the same with God. Sometimes it feels like he's near and his face is towards us. Other times it feels like his face isn't towards us. But the truth of the matter is that God is always good, that he always loves his children, that he is always near to us, especially to the brokenhearted. And so the Lord wants us to know today that it's on his heart for his high priest to pronounce a blessing over his people, that his face is towards them. And you need to know today, and I need to know this, this needs to be something that I hide deeply in my heart, that God is a God whose face is towards us. He notices us. He cares about us. We are loved and accepted by by him. And so come to him today. He has everything that you need, and he is attentive to you. He knows you. He knows the things you're thinking. He knows the things you're feeling, even those things that you haven't spoken out loud. He understands. He gets you in a way that no one else gets you. He knows you intimately. Come to him today. If you're a Christian, you know that you can come to him, but sometimes, for whatever reason, our hearts become dull. We stop reading his word. We stop praying in the same way, and we come to him when there's an emergency or we're desperate. But come to him all of the time because he loves you. He's your father. He is your friend. He is your savior, and he is your Lord. Come to him because he has his face looking in your direction. His face is towards you today. And then finally, it says, and to give us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Many of us have been looking at the news. Many of us have had the news on a cycle in the background in our homes, just listening to all of this evolving news. And we look at Italy and we see a country in crisis and people dying in great numbers, and we see something approaching in the UK, and our hearts might be fearful. But I want to say to you today that God is in control, and he is seated on the throne, and we have a unique place, a unique role to play in this nation at this time. If you're a Christian here today, there today, wherever you are today, we have a unique role in this nation at this time. And that is to pray and to bless our nation, to bless our government, to bless Boris Johnson, to bless our frontline workers, to bless all of the people who are at this moment putting themselves in harm's way in order to serve us. This crisis has revealed both the best and worst of human nature. I think you'll agree. And so we see that some of the supermarkets have empty shelves. And we see that some of the people who don't have what they need can't find what they need because other people have bulk bought stuff and filled their cupboards, while other people who are more vulnerable and supermarkets are coming up with solutions. We see people who are acting selfishly, but at the same time we see people who are acting in really beautiful, wonderful, kind, generous ways. And so I heard the story yesterday of a young lad who spent all of his pocket money buying and toilet roll to give out to his elderly neighbours. And one girl in our church last week was writing out postcards to put through the doors of all of her neighbours to say, if there's anything you need, let me be the one to go and fetch it. If you can't get out of the house, I'll be the one that goes to fetch that for you. And even on Facebook in the Hope Church group recently, there was somebody who said, you know, I'm feeling poorly, I don't want to go out, but I'm going to have to go out because I can't get the stuff I need for my child. And then another person in the church said, listen, I'll go for you. And we're seeing so many acts of kindness like that. The Corby Food Bank has received, I think they've got now 9 tons of food that they're hoping to give away across this this town because of the generosity of businesses and local people during this time of crisis. And it might be that you think, well, there's I can't work at the moment, there's not much I can do. Well, you can volunteer at the Corby Food Bank is one thing you can do. But all of us can pray, and all of us can bless the nation at this time. We can live in peace in the midst of fear because we are his children and he is in control. We're going to finish by proclaiming this blessing over one another. And then Garrel this week got in touch with me and said that he had been listening to a new song, and it's called The Blessing, or Blessing, I can't remember, The Blessing. And it really is this Aaronic blessing and some other blessings in the Bible sung. And so I want us to learn this song as a church, so that when we sing it, we are proclaiming the blessing of God over our lives and over the lives of our relatives, our friends, our family, our church, our town, our nation. And we're going to sing that together in a moment. But firstly, I want us to look at this Aaronic blessing together. We're going to bring it up on the screen so that everybody can see it. And if you're sitting with somebody in your room right now, I want you to look at them. You know, keep glancing over to them as you say these words, and we're going to speak this blessing over them. If you're on your own today, God bless you. And it might be that you could just think of someone that you want to bless with these words. So let's say these words out loud together. And, you know, don't be shy. You're in your front room and maybe you're not behaving in the way you would if you were in a worship service. But I want you to speak these words out loud to proclaim this blessing. And, you know, Aaron was the high priest, but we have been told in the scriptures that we are now a priesthood of believers. And we are now the ones who can proclaim blessing in Jesus' name. So let's proclaim this blessing together. I wonder if you'd stand. Would you stand in your living room? It's not a magical thing. It just feels like this is a significant moment. And maybe, you know, when we're sitting in our chairs, we're a bit overly comfortable and maybe our hearts are not kind of standing to attention in the same way. So if it would help to stand, if you can stand, would you stand with me right now? So let's say this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.